The second scripture reading today is from the book of Galatians, one of Paul's letters. This is also about the law. And this one, although again a universal meeting, was pointed at sort of a small group of Gentiles. And in the church there was this feeling that, a faction, I guess, that felt that the message from the Christ wasn't enough, that you needed to add at least parts of the Old Testament law and keep that. Especially spoken on the male circumcision of the Gentiles for some reason. And this was Paul addressing that to that congregation. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Amen. To the Lord the blessings. Amen.
I'm not sure if Les is going to be the one that the trumpet sounds at the end. You haven't been asked, but he's going to do the trumpet sound this morning as he plays a song for us.
Okay, you'll see. Go ahead and sing if you wish. Be my guest.
Amen. That was awesome. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. I've got a deep question for you this morning. Think. If I ask for vanilla ice cream and you add hot fudge, hot caramel, and pecans, is it still vanilla ice cream? Ooh, you guys are thinking, aren't you? That's a deep question, isn't it? Well, there's vanilla ice cream in it, but I mean, I know what I call it. It's a turtle sundae. And I get those at Culver's all the time. Turtle sundae. I'm thinking about that, and I want you to think about that when it comes to what we're talking about this morning about the gospel. You know, there's vanilla ice cream, and there might be vanilla ice cream in this turtle sundae, but it's got a whole bunch of other stuff in it. It's not really, by definition, no longer vanilla ice cream. It's something different. Because if you ask for vanilla ice cream, you get vanilla ice cream, right? Okay, that's too deep for some of you. Wanted to look at the church in Galatia. The church in Galatia was kind of not well-versed in Jewish culture, perhaps not real knowledgeable of this new thing that Paul was sharing with them, although Paul was sharing with them as one who was not encumbering everything they were hearing with all the Jewish ritual that came along with the Jewish Christians that would share their faith in Christ continued to share in all of the Jewish rituals that were a part of what they did anyway. And Paul was not trying to encumber the church, primarily Gentiles, with all the extra stuff that it seems some others were starting to talk to them about. You see, the Galatians were kind of maybe a little bit backwards. They were a little bit fickle. They weren't accustomed to the primarily Jewish teachers of the gospel at that time. And Paul, when he went to share with them, he didn't highlight Jewishness. What he highlighted was the gospel of Jesus Christ when he shared with the church in Galatia. Apparently something's going on, as Dutch was sharing here too, where there are those who are coming and teaching something in addition to the gospel. That, you know, the gospel isn't really the full gospel unless you include all these other things as well. And it was confusing the Galatians. Paul got wind of it. Some of the Jewish teachers were probably a little bit afraid that some of their Jewish rituals would be lost, and they sought to make them mandatory. Not so much the moral law, because the moral law has never changed, folks. I mean, for those who think that what they were talking about is the moral law, it's the ceremonial law they were talking about. The moral law never changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Never changed. It was always the same. It was the ceremonial. It was the ritual. It was all those things that were a part of the Jewish customs that have been called into question here as we go through this book, Galatians. What it became, as Paul was thinking to those he was now hearing from, it was the gospel plus. You need Jesus, but you also need some other stuff as well. And it diminished the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul made clear what and who the gospel was in three verses previous to the text that was read this morning in the greeting to the church in Galatia 3 through 5. Here's what he says so that people could be clear from the get-go. This is the issue. He says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He prefaced what he was going to say with those three verses to let them know this is what this is all about here as I'm talking to you in this letter. The apostles and church leaders made clear at the Council of Jerusalem what was the gospel. If you go back to the book of Acts, in Acts 15, the Council of Jerusalem was kind of like the, if I could say it in this way, it was kind of the Supreme Court for the church. If there were disputes that were going on, the apostles, the Christian leaders, would come together at this Council of Jerusalem, and they would talk about what's going on and determine what is the right approach to this. And they did so with the Gentile Christians, because early on some were saying, well, they need to be circumcised. You know, the guys need to be circumcised. Ladies, you know, you had your own issues with childbirth, I guess. You probably didn't need to deal with the circumcision thing. I divert from that. Let me go off that one. But the whole thing was, the Council of Jerusalem was there to tell them, here are the things that are pertinent, important, cardinal for the whole church to embrace. And these things are kind of, I don't know, for lack of a better way of putting it, not necessary in the church of Jesus Christ. It made it clear the gospel was about what Jesus Christ did for us in the cross at Calvary, and all these other issues, all these other things that may be practiced in the church, amongst the Jewish Christians, didn't need to be something that the Gentile Christians had to be encumbered with. Because they were making them think that they really couldn't be Christians unless they followed all the Jewish stuff. Diminished the gospel by doing that. The gospel plus. You know, I had a quote, by the way, that I thought I'd share with you this morning. If you give me an opportunity on my phone, I took a picture of it here. I saw it on Facebook this morning, and some of you might have seen it too. This man may not come from our particular denominational traditions. Pope Benedict, listen to this. We must never forget that the Word of God transcends time. Human opinions come and go. What is very modern today will be very antiquated tomorrow. On the other hand, the Word of God is the Word of eternal life. It bears within it eternity and is valid forever. Amen. I thought that was an awesome quote from Pope Benedict. Because you see, I still think the danger exists today in the church that there are some out there teaching the gospel plus and not the gospel. Things are being altered and changed. Even the moral law that's in the Bible, it's, well, the moral law, that's for them, it's not for me. I mean, we've come a long way. People are trying to change what God has set in stone in the Word of God. The melding of different faiths, the New Age movement. You know what that's all about? It's just kind of all these hodgepodge of religions. We put them together and make one big happy family with all the different things out there that are a part of someone's religion. We all serve one God. You've heard it said before. And everything is all just a part of the whole big pie. The gospel plus. And Paul cautions against that in his word about the gospel plus. Jesus isn't enough in that kind of setting. The gospel becomes other things. Oh, just love your brothers and your sisters and all these other things that are going on. And then Jesus is exempted from that. I do remember, and I've told you this before, I share it again because of the fact that this was something where it seemed like it was not the gospel plus, it was actually exempting the true gospel when I was at seminary, and I took a class at another seminary because I was told I needed to take a class there, and I don't know why I needed to take a class there because what I was hearing. And I remember I told you the story about this lady after class, a theology class. It was actually in a break in the class. We were all kind of head out, go to the bathroom, do whatever you need to do, and come back in. And we were coming out of the class. And she says, I don't know why we ever needed this bloody mess. Referring to Jesus and his death on the cross. And I look back at her and I says, if we didn't have the bloody mess, we'd all be lost. But you see, there are people even in the supposed church that are either sharing the gospel plus, or they're not even sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to be students of the Word of God so that we know what the Word of God really says. With the internet, Google and Yahoo and all this other stuff going on, you can access anything and everything, and people can tell you whatever and whenever. And be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Because sometimes people can say things that really are not rooted in God's Word. Paul, when he's addressing the church in Galatia, as he addresses other churches as well, he does make clear throughout the Word that never in all of this, when we're talking about the law and how Jesus came to fulfill the law, morally he fulfilled the law because he was perfect, but also he fulfilled the ceremonial law, all those rituals that were done to help the Jewish people to point to the holy God and they're not holy, and the things that they would do, the rituals that they would do to kind of uphold this and bring that out. Jesus came to fulfill all that. The blood sacrifice, it wasn't needed anymore. He was the blood sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. That wasn't needed. That wasn't necessary. That wasn't a part of the moral law. The moral law was always there. That was never in question here, even in the book of Galatians. The moral law was always absolute. But Jesus was the way to salvation with no additions. By grace through faith, in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, by grace through faith is how we come to Christ. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. Paul saw that it was being compromised, and he wanted to tell the church in Galatia, it's the gospel, not the gospel plus. Humans interfere with the gospel. We want to have human approval, and so we'll swing and alter and adjust and adapt and compromise and do all these things to try to make it sound sweeter to someone, or it's not going to offend in some way. The gospel in some way is offensive, isn't it? Because I know when I was faced with the gospel and I gave my life to Christ, I felt sinful. I was a sinner that needed somehow cleansed, and my mom said, Dave, Jesus is the one who can do that. Jesus is the one that can do that for you. Thank you, Mom. I'll see you someday. Sometimes human interference accommodates our preferences. But it's not about our preferences, is it? It's about what God says in His Word. We have to adapt to His Word, not His Word adapt to us. It's dangerous. In the world we live in today, it's dangerous. We need to hold to the truth of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about slamming people over the head, but I'm talking about being faithful to God's Word. Being true to His Word and upholding it each and every day in our lives. Which does mean sometimes that you and I have to make decisions because there are altered gospels out there. I was talking about the New Age movement. I call it like the hodgepodge gospels. It's everything. It's a stew. Throw this in, throw that in, throw that in, throw that in. Everything's acceptable. That's fine. Accommodating gospels. I don't want to offend, so I've got to change my understanding of the gospel so that I can not offend someone. The itching ear gospels, like 2 Timothy 4:3 talks about. You know, that there are those that just want to share whatever the itching ears want to hear because that'll get a crowd. But is it the true gospel of Jesus Christ? Social gospels. Now listen to me, folks. I want to be very clear on this. Sometimes in the church, we're so concerned about doctrinal integrity that all we do is spend our time talking about the right thing to believe, and we don't spend any time out there doing what Jesus was doing and loving people and caring for people and meeting the people's needs and all that sort of thing. And we need to do that. That's a part of what the gospel causes us to do if we really believe in the one who died and rose again for our sins. And He loved me that much. I need to love everybody else that much. And one way I show people that I love them so much is by getting out there and doing the things that can bring people up out of the mess that they're in and all that sort of stuff. But what I'm saying is sometimes what people do is they replace the gospel with this other stuff, social activism. And they've got an agenda to do things about this issue, whatever it is. And Jesus isn't even in that. You never hear Jesus in that. All you hear is let's do good, let's do good, let's do good. You know what? It'll wear out and die without Christ being at the center of whatever it is we're dealing with. We ought to be socially active. We ought to be about social justice. But we do that in the context of a relationship with Jesus Christ. We do that within a context of what the Word of God says about whatever it is that we're dealing with. And yes, there may be some mild disagreements on some things, but there can't be major disagreements on things because the Word of God's pretty clear on so many of the things we talk about. We shouldn't be about accommodating gospels or itching ear gospels. Sometimes I hope you're uncomfortable in the pew. If you're always comfortable, then maybe I'm not doing my job right. You need to squirm every now and then. Because sometimes I'm squirming when I'm doing what I'm doing. Sometimes we need to squirm. So I guess as we conclude the message this morning, what I want to say to you, first of all, about what I share with you is, only listen to me if I'm listening to the Word of God. Hold me accountable as your pastor. Teach the truth. Hold each other accountable to what the Word of God says, not what your opinion is. My opinion sometimes is in conflict with the Word of God. It's the Word of God that should win out in that, not my opinion. So I just want to encourage you with that. And I'm going to go a little further in the book of Galatians about this too and try to help us through some of this because I think it's important for us to be people of integrity in the family of God, in the community of faith. But do it with, if I could use this term, do it with a spoonful of sugar. I know people who are people of tremendous integrity. But it's like they've got a 12-gauge shotgun when they share it with people. And I think there are ways in which you can share God's truth that can make it sway into a soul because the person who has given it seems to really, really, really care about me and love me. Jesus had a way of doing that with the sinners, didn't he? But then he would always say when he was done, now go and sin no more. We miss that piece sometimes, don't we? That's altering the gospel. He wants us to live the way he's spoken his word for us to live. So let's listen to the word of God. It's the gospel, not the gospel plus. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the chastisement that we need from time to time. The church in Galatia needed Paul to address something, and he addressed it. Sometimes, God, I need to be addressed because I'm not following your word the way I should. Perhaps that's the case with just about everyone here at some point in their life. God, help us to be men and women and children of integrity. Help us to always look to your word for the answers and not just a human opinion. Because there's a lot of opinions out there. But you're the cornerstone. You're the rock. You're the answer. It's in your word. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' precious and holy and wonderful name. Amen.